The next Maspid is one of the greatest Talmidim of the Rosh Hashiva, who has given so much of his energy in Kiruv, in inspiring people to come to Eretz Yisrael, helping them come and get involved in Torah and Mitzvos, the president of Eshet Torah International, Mr. Richard Horowitz.
They asked me if I could speak for about 10 minutes about the Rosh Hashiva. They'd asked me to speak for 2 hours about the Rosh Hashiva, no problem. 30 minutes, not much of a problem. 10 minutes, I don't know what to say. And so much has been said already. So many experiences that we all shared with Rosh Hashiva. So I'd like to just say just a few things. Perhaps weren't said, or perhaps I can elucidate a bit. The Rosh Hashiva had such an incredible and absolute clarity. It was almost scary. Every year, Eshet Torah has a conference where we get together, some of the volunteers, a lot of the staff. It's called the International Meetings. And every year I'd go to the International Meeting, and Eshet Torah had a good year, and I had a good year, and we had accomplishments. I'd been focused. I was focused on what the Rosh Hashiva taught us. And the Rosh Hashiva would get up and start speaking. And after 10 or 15 minutes, I would say, where was I? Where the heck was I? How did I get so out of touch with reality? And he'd answer questions. And I'd realize, what did I do with my year? How was I satisfied? How could that be? It's not going to happen again. I took my notes. I paid attention. I went back. I did my best. I worked with H. I gave advice. I took advice. I worked with people. People worked with me. I thought I used my time beautifully. I'd go back and Rosh Hashiva would start to speak. I began to expect it. Such absolute, pure clarity and focus. An understanding of the reality of the world, which never varied, never went away. An absolute clarity. And a curiosity. Reb Noach needed to understand everything. Everything. There was nothing that was happening in the world that was impacting people that he didn't need to have an understanding. What's the essence of it? What I remember about 15 years ago, there was a computer game, Pac-Man. Computer still came, you know, just come out as Pac-Man. And I don't even notice people coming through, these guys were all playing Pac-Man, talking about Pac-Man. You know what Pac-Man was? He inquired what Pac-Man was. And a few months later, he was staying with someone, he was on a fundraising trip, and he found out they had a big machine that played Pac-Man. The Rosh Hashiva went down and played Pac-Man for an hour and a half. And he got the understanding, why did they play it? What he was looking at it, it was an aspect of life. It was impacting people. It was impacting people. He had to understand it. My good friend and partner, Shalom Dembo, Rabbi Dembo is here. Rabbi Dembo runs AEPI. And the Rosh Hashiva heard this concept, the fraternity. These fraternities on college campus, they have a thing they're called brothers. They have brotherhood. The Rosh Hashiva heard that, and he called in Rabbi Dembo and some of the guys, and he said, what aspect is it? how do you get a bunch of guys who didn't know each other, who had no connection, who felt like they were brothers, and they carried that for the rest? He had to understand that. It was an aspect of what was going on in the world, and if it was going on in the world, he had to have it. He could not understand it. We moved into a house 24 years ago, and first time he visited, he would stay with us when he came to Los Angeles. He came up, and the house has a nice view. And the Roshi was noticing there were a lot of stars out that night. And he said, do you have a roof? I said, yeah. He said, can you stand on the roof? I said, well, yeah, they've got an air conditioning unit up there. So I want to check the stars out on the roof. So we have a thing, we have an attic, and with rickety stairs, you take them down to the attic. And then we have this ladder up, in case the air conditioning. He was up there for 15, 20 minutes. And he came down and he said, have you been up there yet? I said, no. What's wrong with you? You have a view like you haven't been there? The Almighty gave you this entire universe. You have a house. It's your house. You've got a beautiful view. It's a clear night. You haven't been up there yet? I went up. The Rosh Yeshiva had a talent for taking pleasure and never being satisfied. That's an incredible contradiction for most of us. If we take pleasure, we're satisfied. We're satisfied. It wasn't enough. I remember once, it must have been 15 years ago, the Rosh Yeshiva used to teach Pirkei Avos class every day. And we were talking about something, and then he excused himself. He said, I have to prepare for class. And he pulled out a notebook and was reviewing notes, and we walked to the class together. And he taught the class. It was a great class. We were walking back, and I said to Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, how many times have you taught this particular class? And he thought about it. He said, I don't know, 500, 600, 1,000 times. I said, you had to stop and prepare for 15 minutes? So he looked at me like I was from outer space, and he said, you don't understand. You don't understand the power of Pirkei Avos. If I knew how to teach one of the 48 ways correctly, any one of them, and I had a group of 30 or 40 people in front of me, at the end of the class, they would all stand up and say, this is pure truth. What do? We need to change our lives. It's not happening. I'm not teaching it right. There's something. It was a world famous class. There's tapes of it sold. Hundreds of. I'm not. He wasn't satisfied. He would actually teach one of the 48 ways, and every single person. I once met a man who actually did it. I was there one year, and you meet people. H was much smaller then. It was an older building, and I met someone. Everyone asks people, how do you get involved? So he said. This is about 3 years later. He said, I was to the old city. I was in trip to Israel. I came into, it was an Englishman. He said, I came into his class on the Pirkei Avos. Someone invited me, and I came in, and I listened to the class. And after the class, I went up to Rabbi Weinberg, and I said, this is pure truth. I've been looking for this my whole life. What do? He said, Roshi, you walked me down to the Beis Medrash. He says, 15 months later, and I'm still here. But he wasn't satisfied. He took pleasure, but he wasn't satisfied. I think his clarity was the most amazing thing to me, but the second most amazing thing was how he used his time, how he used his efforts. I'd like to give just a small example and a big example. So at Asia Tour in Los Angeles, we have a outreach center. We have a minion at the outreach center. And we have a new rabbi we hired a couple years ago, Rabbi Sarani. He's Iraqi. He has no real background with Eshet Torah. We found him. He was doing some part-time work for us. He did a great job. We hired him full-time. So this Shabbos was his time to give a talk. And he told a story. He had a sister. And his sister, at one point, her heart was about 5% of capacity. And he's Sephardi, he's Iraqi. He went and, you know, got brachas from her, from you know, all the gadolim in Brooklyn. And he was working. He was working in Manhattan. And one day he bumped into the Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva was working on the same floor. He was working on the same floor. And he found out who he was, and he went home, and the next day he realized, oh, here's another great man, this is a gadol, I'll have him, maybe I'll call my sister, I'll give her a bracha. He told us a couple days later, sister said, Rabbi Weinberg called, and he was a little surprised when he went to ask Rabbi Weinberg. Rabbi Weinberg said, look, I'll try to do it, but you know, I'm very busy. When he was in America, if you ever saw him in America, it was every minute was working on things, and he never got to everything. So he told this story over after Rosh Hashiva's Nifter to Rabbi Jacobs, who is a product of Eishet Torah Jerusalem. And Rabbi Jacobs said to him, what did he say to your sister? He said, yeah, I never asked. He said, why don't you give her a call? So he called up, and he told his sister Rosh Hashiva had passed away. She was very upset. She said, yeah, I know Rabbi Weinberg called you. I asked him to call and give you a bracha a few years ago. What did he say to you? And she said, he called up, and he spoke to me for an hour and a half. And he talked to me, told me, how do you talk to God? How do you talk to the Almighty? The Almighty loves you. How do you get it done? How do you build a relationship? He talked for an hour and a half. Of course, you've had no time. You call up. It's a nice thing. You call up someone you never met, says, my sister's very ill. You call up. You give her a bracha. She should be matzliach. Very nice. When did he have an hour and a half? There's hundreds of stories like that. They're all the same. So I'll tell you another story. People came in to me. Everyone knows Lev Lachem. It was mentioned here before. Reminded me of the story. Doing a tremendous job in Israel. Uri Zohar, who I speak to, he comes by about once a year, and we talk about what's going on and how the Rosh Hashiva tried for years to get him to go out, and finally he went out. But anyway, when Uri Zohar came out, he started speaking, and he was getting, this was told to me by the head of Lev Lachem, he was getting, in fundraising, he was getting, you know, nice crowds and everything, and people getting all excited, and after about 6 months, Uri Zohar had been in Kollel saying, I'm going to go back to Kollel. Why? She said, you know, everyone's getting excited. Nothing's happening. There's no bottom line. You know, we had crowds, nice crowds. I talk, they get all excited. So a man said to me, what do you do? The problem, what do you do? You go to Gadol Hador. Kiruv, Gadol Hador is Noach Weinberg. So I went to Noach Weinberg. And he said, here's what we got. We get these crowds. First thing he said Reb Noach gave him a plan that you get the people and you have them sign in and you get their addresses and you get a rechem and you train the rechem and you get them to go out and they knock on doors. And you know, he said he had a plan like someone had asked him 5 years ago and he had spent 5 years working on the plan. So he said to Rabbi Weinberg, he said, well, what will something like that cost? Rabbi Weinberg said, it cost you $250,000. He said, we have no money. So Rabbi Weinberg said, I'll raise you to $250,000 the first year. Once you show people it works, you can raise your own money. Now, I don't know exactly when that was, but I've been working with Eishet Torah in fundraising now for 25 years. We've never had enough money. There are times we weren't able to pay the payrolls on time. There were always bills. We never had $250,000. It wasn't laying around. It wasn't with people you'd get it from, or we'd had it. The Rosh Hashiva took the responsibility. He never had time, but he had an hour and a half from someone who he never met except once told him about his sister. We never had money, but he raised the $250,000 because he saw that this was necessity. Last thing I'd like to mention, a few people have mentioned it before, but considering what he did and considering what those of us around him did, I mean, it was clear. It was clear who was doing and who was accomplishing and who was motivating and who was helping him. He had an unlimited sense of course of tov to those people who were helping him in the battle. They helped him a lot, they helped him a little bit. Unlimited course of tov. What we should have had for him, he had for us. So I was here last July. Already he wasn't doing so well. I came by, and I had, I'd call a typical meeting with the Rosh Hashiva. First thing was I'd worked on a system. Some people know I work with a lot of people working on them on going to Israel and spending time in Israel and studying in Israel. And I worked on something called the Four Priority System, and I showed it to him, how to get people to focus on their priorities. And he was very excited about it. And he said, you got to professionalize it. You got to professionalize it. You know, take it seriously. Took pleasure, appreciated it, never satisfied. Thank God, at that time, I was able to tell the Rosh Hashiva. Got a beautiful family. Accomplished a lot in Kirov. My sons are both Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. I was able to tell the Rosh Hashiva, you know, whatever we've accomplished, whatever our family's accomplished, we owe it to you. And he said, you owe it to the Almighty. I said, yeah, but we owe it to you. Without you, all of it wouldn't have been there. With you, it was all there. I'd like to say again, Beis Medrash, where so many of us have come, we owe it to Rosh Hashiva. And one last thing, which he always said to us, which I never understood, I think the last speaker summed it up. One of the ways he'd encourage us is he'd say, you know, when I'm gone, you don't have me to depend on. You're going to accomplish a lot more. You're going to accomplish a lot more. You take it more seriously, we'd say, do it now, I should get the nachas. Rosh Hashiva, we'll do it. You'll get the nachas.